Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we talked all about Wallace and Gromit, A Grand Day Out, and The Wrong Trousers, as well as Leprechaun 4, In Space, and NXT TakeOver Philadelphia.
Hey there, Braden, Davey, and all the great Up Next fans. It's me, Johnny Gargano, and I heard through the grapevine that you guys were hosting a special watch-along of my match from TakeOver Philadelphia against Andrade, seeing almost, for the NXT Championship. And that match holds a very special place in my heart because I truly believe that was the night that Johnny Wrestling, Johnny TakeOver, was born.
The main event from this show. But it became a bit of a running gag as well, where, like, I'd be talking to people about wrestling and they'd be like, I don't really get it. And I'd show them this match. And occasionally it became not Netflix and chill, but Gargano v. Almas and chill. And, well, it seemed to prove effective because in my early days of Up Next, I'd get messages from people being like, hey,
it worked.
I just showed some of this match and, well, we're getting married or something. So
get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana. And it's only $5. So what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Poison Rana.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Poison Rana, the podcast. And we are
live on youtube.com/@poisonranapod. Hello, YouTubers.
Hello, YouTubers. Hello, Poison Pals, our tadpoles, our friends, our everything. Hello. It's Sunday, so where my frogs at? It's the frogs day today. It's a beautiful day outside, but we're inside right now, and that's okay. Maybe we'll be back outside later.
It's pretty nice. It's definitely warmed up a bit. Like, it's still cold, but when it's been like super cold and now it's not quite as cold, it feels warm.
It's very bizarre.
It's lovely.
I know, obviously, we have listeners all over the world, so weather in Toronto is pretty irrelevant, but like it's been nuts because one day you'll see people walking in shorts, their sundresses, it's summer, and then the next day it's literally a snow blizzard with like snow up to your almost knees. It's what?
I feel bad. Our good friend Stephanie Chase is in town this month, and she was kind of talking before she made the trip. She went to Boston for big business and came over here and is doing some of the Canada tour dates and seeing what Toronto's all about. And she's like, oh, do I need to bring a big jacket? She's asking this as we're sat outside on a patio drinking a beer in 20-degree weather. And it's like, you can probably get by without one, but it's Canada in March. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And sure enough, we had in just one day the entire amount of snow this whole winter tripled in the third day of spring.
And then 2 days later, it's like sunny and it's pretty much all melted.
It just all melted.
Doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not, Greta Thunberg or whoever the hell. I don't know. But is like global warming maybe a real thing? Because like this is bizarre. Because growing up here my whole life, our winters would be very bad and very cold. And then spring would slowly come. Now it's not like that at all. You just... It could be anything.
Winter could come any month of the year. It's, so could summer.
It's actually crazy.
I refuse to wear my winter's coat again. Once I've sat outside, you know, having a beer on a patio in the sunshine, it's like, nope, I'm wearing layers. I wear multiple layers. I ain't wearing my coat again.
Oh, man. And like, I always feel, I went out last night and I had my winter coat because it was freezing and today it's warm. But like when all the girls are trying to run from the Ubers to the line of the club.
Yeah.
And they're like not wearing their winter coats. It's like, how? I'm freezing in my coat still. Oh boy. Anyways, welcome to our weather talk. We are here in Toronto and because it's where we live, and AEW was here this week and we had a whole fun time. So we're going to chat all about our trip to Dynamite and hanging out with some friends and everything. But it's T-minus what, like 2 weekends?
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, we'll, you know, hopefully be enjoying a nice little pre-mania lunch.
Wow.
I secured one ticket the other day.
Right.
And these ticket prices are insane.
Crazy.
This was WWE released face value tickets like behind the stage, right in the upper deck, pretty much the last row of this whole stadium behind the stage. So the shittiest seats you can imagine.
Right.
And they released them face value at 170 US plus fees. So that it came to 310 Canadian for the shittiest ticket. And that's not a resale. That's not a markup. but, you know, it's like, well, if that's anything like sub 200 US at this point, it's like, all right, I'd rather just secure at least one ticket. And I think I did well because I then watched SmackDown and Michael Cole's going, we've just released some production seats.
Right.
And sure enough, I look after and all of them have now gone.
Wow.
But yeah, I then compared to my first WrestleMania, which at the time I was, you know, earning Great British pounds, some sterling, which is a little stronger than the US dollar. And I was like, man, I got way, 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 way better seats for pretty much the same price.
Wow. Yeah.
So inflation.
I mean, think about it. When we've gone to like Wembley, it was pretty expensive. And like we had pretty good seats, but we're still pretty far out. It's a soccer field.
What sucks for us is just earning Canadian dollars. I mean, it's even worse if you live in Greece or whatever. But like it's it bites you because you'll see a thing that looks like a good price and then it's cool. Now add tax, now add processing fees, and now convert it to Canadian, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, these Canadian dollars.
But we knew what we were getting into. We've been saving up our pennies for the last.
We don't have pennies here, actually.
Last good few months. You do in you do digitally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still round it if you want, like up to the five. But Canadian dollars are nothing. $5 American is like $700 Canadian. No, it's like $7 Canadian, which is all it costs to become a friend, a patron over at patreon.com/poisonrana. Because yes, in 2 weeks, we are going to Philly, we are going to Mania, and we need all these hard-earned Canadian dollars. And we've been podcasting very, very hard and having a lot of fun over on the Patreon, and it's only halfway through the month. So now's the time. If you've never tried the Patreon and you love us and you're like, just $5 is a lot, now's the time, because this will help us. Buy us a beer. Buy yourself some podcasts. There's $5 and you get access to everything that's coming out this past month, this upcoming few weeks, this next whole month. You get a whole month's access that lets you go back and look at all the other shows that we've done. This week, we are pretty busy with the whole... We're going to Philly. We're going to the ECW venue. So we looked back at a retro ECW show, Extreme Bash 1996.
Sorry, full title, please.
Big Ass Extreme Bash.
There we go.
1996. Featuring Jericho versus Taz, Foley's ECW Farewell against Mikey Whipwreck. What else? The Dudleys in action, Raven, Shane Douglas, crazy New Jack promo. I mean, look, I don't want to say it's worth $5 alone, but we've already got one message from someone saying you verbatim reading out a New Jack promo, an uncensored New Jack promo, is probably worth more than the $5.
I ain't giving that away for free. You've got to pay that.
We'll never release this show for free simply because of the things that come out of Davey's mouth.
As you said, $5, that's about $7. It's just about pretty much the amount Brandon from New Jersey stiffed me. And you know what? It's his birthday today, so you can have it and have a lovely happy birthday, Brandon.
That's right. Happy birthday, Brandon, and happy birthday to The Undertaker.
Yes.
BSK.
What a power
all
couple
day.
Right there.
We also released another show just 2 days ago on the Patreon. Since we're going to Philly, we talked about the most Philly movie in history. We're talking Rocky.
Mm.
We're going to fly now. We reviewed this classic movie from 1976. Oscar winner, Sylvester Stallone, Adrian. You know, we talk all about his visit to Pat's.
Yep.
Him fighting Apollo Creed, drinking eggs.
Talking to the animals. That's right. Singing and dancing with the animals.
We had a great time reviewing Rocky, so please check out the show and let us know what you think of us chatting about it. And then the Philly shows don't stop. This upcoming week, we're going to look at WrestleMania 15, mm-hmm. all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, back way back when. The Rock Austin.
Rock Austin 1.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what else is around that time. It's not the most loved WrestleMania, yeah. but it is like at the sort of kind of beginning of that real peak and that boom. Sure. So some exciting stuff to talk about there.
And then a Poison profile. The wise man, Paul Heyman, is being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we are going to take a look at the entire career of Paul Heyman, from ECW to some photography or whatever the hell else he was doing.
Photography as a teen to, taking over, what was it, Eastern Championship Wrestling.
That's right.
The Dangerous Alliance in WCW, managing Steve Austin, for example. Obviously, the WWE run with the Invasion and commentary and Brock and Roman and everything.
Punk.
Like quite a wild career when you think about it. And
yes.
entered the business at a very young age.
So we're going to chat all about Paul Heyman and his Hall of Fame run in this industry, because yes, he's had his paw prints on a whole bunch of things in the world of wrestling. So we're going to have fun chatting about him.
Oh my word. Fire Frank reminds us on WrestleMania 15, Shane McMahon versus X-Pac.
Wow.
Yeah. What was that? European Championship, I think?
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, what a
Shane
classic.
With his, modified DX Suckit jersey.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
Making fun of X-Pac, I guess?
I think so, yeah.
Right. Interesting. So there you go. Lots and lots of podcasts. You get all of those, plus everything else in there, and it's $5. So, come on, sign up. Let us know what you think. We'll keep you entertained. Maybe you're going to Philly and you need a podcast for the road.
It's the best month to sign up. We'll also be giving away little road trip diary entries we've been doing, just recording on our phone. When we remember, when we're not too inebriated after a show, we kind of forgot after Dynamite.
Yes.
Running over to Sneaky D's. But we'll be doing a whole lot of that as well.
We'll be doing lots, because also you'll be going separate ways. You're flying in New York and then training into Philly, and then I'm driving with some buds down from Toronto, so we'll have some
we'll be
different
doing
ones
perspective.
and then we'll meet up, and then it'll be
the
like
Avengers Assemble.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it'll be a whole fun. So the Patreon is definitely where it's at, and again, it's $5, so help us out and support yourself, or support us and get yourself some podcasts, because we've definitely been working. We did our retro up next, looking back at TakeOver Philly that just came out too. Shout out Johnny Gargano. You may have heard in the intro there. So lots and lots of shows all over the place. And we can't do it without all you fine people. So we love you.
Mm-hmm.
We love you very much. We also love anyone who showed up to our karaoke on Wednesday night after Dynamite. Now, we got royally boned because we set up this event, and then 2 weeks before, AEW announces actually Rampage is going to be live. And that definitely put a little bit of a wheel, something in the spokes,
well,
something like that.
It's difficult because, it's a school night. It's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then Rampage going live after as well, finishing after 11, and then trying to get people to Uber or streetcar up to College and Bathurst for wrestling karaoke. And then on top of that, the weather was the worst it's been all the year. We were kind of a little nervous, but you know what? You all still showed up.
That's right.
Shout out Hanzi.
Hanzi, yeah. He's like, hey, I don't have a wrestling song to sing. I just want to sing Come On, Feel the Noise, which he killed it. He killed it. But then...
Yeah, people as a Brit, people need to remember that. That is Slade who sung that song originally.
Who sang that song?
Slade.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, what is it? Quiet Riot?
Quiet Riot.
Yeah, it's that's the cover.
Oh, I didn't
Shout
know.
Shout out our fellow Brits right there.
I didn't know that, yeah. There was some great tunes. Yeah, so people still showed up, but it wasn't as crazy as some of our last events when we were like, oh no, will people show up? But it seemed like a lot of people stayed for Rampage. When we were leaving, we were like, we're used to leaving Rampage with the rest of the crowd, but everyone seemed to kind of stay in Toronto, which, to be fair, I think we all agreed with our crew that we probably would have stayed because the card was all right and everyone was having a good time.
Takeshita Rocky Romero.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Had the women's Street Fight tag, which, you know, has become a bit of a... I know it's a hashtag Street Fight Tonight.
Street Fight Tonight!
But I think the women's, like, tag street fights have all been pretty fun up to now. So,
so, we were a little like, all right, well, we got to go. So we made it to the bar, and then we set up, and then people showed up. So it was a good time. So shout out everyone who made their way, and we made some new friends, some new singers, and someone sang. So we had, like, a bunch of people singing wrestling songs. And, of course, you always get, like, some classics in there. People always want to sing Edge's theme, Cody, Kingdom, all that
Punk,
stuff.
Yeah,
but one guy went up and sang Greenlight, which is like wrestling fans Mariah Carey, essentially. And shout out Tom, Pure Fandom, who was DJing all. DJ Tom was even crossfading at some point there, which was hilarious. But I'll say he messed up at one point, which inadvertently created a awesome moment. He accidentally, when this guy asked to sing Greenlight, didn't put the karaoke, he just played the instrumental. Instead of, so he's been playing the karaoke playlist, which has the lyrics for everybody on the giant screen, right? But the one song he messed up and accidentally just played Greenlight instrumental, the guy on stage didn't give a fuck and knew every single word.
Which it's got the, like, rap sections as well, which are way
I got a passport. I got a passport. Like,
every single
Mr. International, I got a passport.
Exactly.
And we were like, what the hell? Right? That was pretty crazy. And then later on, I got to shout out this guy named Terry, who went up and did the Mountie. And Tom was like, I can't find a video that has the song with this lyrics, which, like, I didn't even realize there was lyrics. And this guy went up and proceeded to just absolutely kill it with the Mountie and, like, singing, rapping, whatever the hell that was. But
don't know if there's rapping in the Mounties.
I don't know what he was doing, man, but it was great. So there was some deep cuts there for sure. So shout out everyone who sang.
Yeah, we'll be having a lot more events coming up. We've kind of got things finalized for Money in the Bank weekend. So I think once WrestleMania's out the way, we'll be pushing all those events. Be a much nicer time of year.
Yes.
We're really excited to announce that. So keep your eyes open for that. But if you are in the Toronto area, we will be still throwing a WrestleMania watch party. We're kind of setting it all up before we leave and got some very trustworthy people running it at Gabby's, 309 King Street West. We're almost sold out now. We've sold out of our combo tickets, but we still have individual tickets left for both nights. I think they'll probably be gone by the end of the week. So if you're thinking of coming, watching WrestleMania with a bunch of friends and fans and stuff, go to poisonrana.ca and pick up your tickets.
Yes, because everyone wants to have some fun while watching WrestleMania. And we like to put on these fun events because the city, you know, we're still bouncing back. There's not that much, like, I saw Jerry Lynn, ECW legend, put out a tweet. Hey, is there any metal bars in Toronto on a Tuesday night? And I was like, man, it's a Tuesday night. Like, nothing happens in this city. It's pretty dead, let alone, like, on
there are, but you'll probably just be sat at the bar with
music
a bartender and one regular.
Yeah, like,
pretty much on a Tuesday.
Yeah, so... And
that's most places in the world on a Tuesday,
fair. But, like, this city, definitely, there's not too many, like, there's different comedy shows and music and stuff, but not a whole lot of wrestling related stuff. So we decide to throw these things on, and all these people always thank us for doing these things. So it's been a whole lot of fun, and shout out anyone who shows up at any of these things. Shout out to Sneaky D's as well, because we were prepared to, like, get there and set up and everything. And when we got there, they're like, no, we set everything up. We have a sound guy, a sound tech. And when you show up to a gig and the sound tech has long hair and an earring, I was like, this is going to be great. And it was perfect. So shout out, I think his name was Spencer, and shout out George from Sneaky D's as well. And DJ Tom one more time.
Yes, absolutely.
He did a great job. And your drinks were a hit.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Oscutter, the Monet Maker.
Monet Maker.
Yeah, the Concerto.
I enjoyed the Concerto.
Yeah. Maybe a bit too much?
I think it was already half cut by that point.
All I remember is when John Away showed up for a while there.
This is the free feed. None of that.
Behind the
BD now at some point, and you've got to pay for that shit.
Oh yeah, let's just say it involves the New Jack promo. But should we talk about the Wednesday before the karaoke, what we got into and everything? So we went to Dynamite because it's our city, our neck of the woods, and we don't live that far from Coca-Cola. So we went on over. We kind of did a little bar hop. Shout out Eric Marcotte, who crashed at our place the past few days and came out for some wrestling from Sudbury. We had Stephanie Chase joining us, although from across the pond, and we had all our friends, and we were kind of hopping around and going to different spots. And then we got to the venue. We were all prepared for some good wrestling. And then shout out listener Mark, who just days before the show was like, "Hey, do you want a free ticket to the show? I can't make it." And I was like, "That sucks, but yeah, I'll take the free ticket." And then we kind of migrated sections and kind of found each other where we could all kind of sit together with our giant crew, and then we watched the show, and it was a pretty sweet show. I'm trying to think of where it even started.
Well, let's start at the beginning. Mercedes Moné coming out and cutting a promo. I was kind of just like, we had a little issue with our tickets where I was, so kind of missed her entrance a bit, but seemed to be getting a big reaction. I think Mercedes is sounding good. I still don't like, promos have never been like the strongest part of her game, but I do think she's carrying a pretty good presence in AEW so far. I feel this is going to be more of a long process of building the women's division around Mercedes than, you know, than bringing a Punk and you've automatically got all these different dream matches. It's, you know, right now it's Mercedes kind of feuding with like Julia Hart and a match set up, I assume, for Dynasty with Willow. They're teasing that. None of that particularly excites me, and that's just because of where the women's division's been. Like, I like Willow a lot, but she's often relegated to Rampage and things like that.
And booked to lose a lot, like on Rampage.
Yeah, like, I mean, she's been getting some steam recently. She's definitely one of the top women in the division, but, you know, it's not Mercedes coming in and there's this plethora of dream matches. So I think it's going to be, if Mercedes is invested in AEW, it's going to be great, and it's going to be great for the division, but it's not going to be an overnight fix. You know, I mean, I think the biggest star in the company in the women's division, which would be like, you know, a big match just on like star power, would be like Britt Baker, who's been out of action for quite a long time. Same with the Jamie Hayter. So not sure when they're coming back, but you know, when they start to come back in, and hopefully we start elevating more of the women, which does mean more segments on Dynamite, because that is the A show and the most watched show. Maybe we can turn this division around. Like, it didn't happen overnight in WWE either. I think it was cooking in NXT for quite a while, and even when those stars moved up to the main roster, it wasn't like right away they were main eventing WrestleManias. It took time, and I kind of like that. That sort of what she said here in her promo was, "Hey, like I created the women's revolution in WWE. I helped them. Now it's time to make the women's revolution global and try and expand that. And whether that's relationships with, you know, other Joshi companies around the world.
Stardom.
I doubt Rossi Egawa's new promotion, because I don't think him and TK particularly get along, but I think that door with him gone seems to be more open now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't think people should look at Mercedes coming in as like a CM Punk level fix. And I wouldn't necessarily be like, the ratings haven't moved at all. I think it is going to be more of a slow process, but so far I've enjoyed Mercedes.
Yeah, always been a big fan of her, and like, it was weird when she like, "Hey, here's a video package that shows you who I am," which is like strange. It's like, you could just tell us who you are, but then the video is like, "Hey, she's in Star Wars, she's, you know, red carpet walking, all this kind of stuff." So it's like, I guess eventually it's gonna become the heel character that I think will really, really take off. But right now, like, yeah, you're right. They don't have big women stars. We've had Britt Baker, who has been MIA for like months, but I don't know if that's injuries or not. She's been pretty vocal on social media, like, you know, referencing, like, I haven't been on TV, this and that. So maybe that's deliberate to, like, set up a big moment between the two, because I think you could have done that already to just automatically get people thinking.
Like, consider when Britt got injured the first time during the pandemic. She was on TV every week. Yeah. And it actually, like, became really entertaining, all the stuff with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
She seemed to be very, very pally with TK in the early days. And I don't know if stuff's happened. Yeah. Like, she seemed to be one that, you know, Punk was a fan of. And she's put out some tweets, like, insinuating negative things towards him with his departure and things as well. So I don't know what's going on there. But, and I'm not even saying Britt is the best women's worker in the company. Like,
but she's the best character. But the she's biggest 100% character, yeah.
The best character. And you think as like a marquee match, Britt and Mercedes.
CEO, DMD.
Look at the graphic and stuff. Exactly. It feels like the biggest thing that they could build to. But we need a few more of the players back. Saraya and Ruby Soho's stock is like so much lower than it was when they came in. So I don't see them as being like particularly interesting feuds. But
Jamie is the big one, obviously. Jamie's injuries and everything. But
they're building Willow quite nicely. They're building Statlander quite nicely. Julia Hart showing improvements and seems to get over with the crowd. But it's still, they're all still a level quite far below the star power of Mercedes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it sucks. Like, the women only get certain time on Dynamite, and they've somewhat switched things around, having Mercedes open the show, having, you know, women main event a week or so ago. Like, they've been moving and shuffling that around, which they have to do. So it's not just people joking about the 9:30 slot, because it just legit was that way for so long. And, but I also, on the other side, I'm like, yeah, but like, that's the characters that aren't really that popular right now.
They're not over. Yeah.
Right. Like, that's just what it is. So, unfortunately, like, they do need to kind of fix that. So it is bizarre that Britt has kind of been off. Again, there might be like reasons to that. I'm not sure. Obviously, the injury with Jamie, where she became like an organic, like, AEW star. And then the injury really put a halt to that. So, like, it's just really unfortunate. But once she's back, I think that would be like an actual, like, the match of Sasha, Mercedes, and Jamie. Like, that's your Wembley match, if possible. But other than that, like, what other characters?
Well, seems like they don't want to go straight to the Tony Storm feud,
of course,
either. Yeah. I don't know whether it's they give Mercedes Julia's title and tries to elevate TBS championship or something. You've also got Athena, who, like, I'd say drop the title at Supercard of Honor and come into, she could make a big impact, you know?
Yeah.
Have her, Mercedes gets that win over Willow at Dynasty, and then Athena attacks her from behind. This, the heel character she's been doing, and if you've been listening to me for years, like, I've never been a fan of Athena's work. As a babyface, she never clicked with me at all, but as a heel, it seems to be working. Like, I gotta be honest, I haven't watched a great deal of Ring of Honor at all, but the positive things always seems to be like, man, Athena's carrying that a promotion, and she's great in ring, and her and Mercedes was never something I can really recall happening in WWE. Like, their paths never really crossed. So that feels like a fresh match as well. So I think that would help. And hopefully, these other stars are coming back from their injuries and things.
Yeah, yeah. And if they're doing stuff with, I know Stardom, like, the biggest stars seem to have left or will be leaving, which would suck. But, like, they're doing some sort of tie-in there. Like, they've got tie-ins with CMLL. Like, there's so many other things you could draw from and create and help create stars. But maybe it's bringing in Mercedes, you're right. Like, it's not an overnight thing, but could help their division in some way, shape. Because they have, like, as Britt became a huge star. So, like, they can do it if they do it properly. But it just seems as of late, like, it's kind of fallen to the wayside a little bit. And sometimes, you know, It's the classic thing you'd hear. I think it's Sasha Banks or Bayley when they had their epic feud, and after the reception they got for, like, some of their crazy awesome matches is, like, at wrestling shows, when it was the women's match, that's when everyone would go to the bathroom. And, like, now, like, that's not, like, the case, right? But I go to Dynamites and wrestling shows all the time. It is still 100% the case.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you say, I don't care. I go to these shows. I've been to hundreds of shows. absolutely every single time, or matches people don't care about, right? So like, it's not a women's thing necessarily in today's age. It's just like you're putting these characters that I don't care about.
The characters being over.
Yeah, you know, it's like these characters lose all the time.
If I'm at Raw and it's, I don't know, Akira Tozawa against
fucking
Sangha or whatever, like, got nothing against both guys. Like, Akira Tozawa is a fantastic wrestler. I enjoyed Nice Guy Sangha in NXT. I'm probably going to the washroom. Although WWE, it's like you got 15 minutes of commercials all the time to pee anyway.
Yeah, there's no wrestling.
But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not a male-female thing. It's you got to pick your breaks. And especially the rapid pace an AEW show moves at, it's just characters being over. I probably wouldn't leave during a Mercedes Britt Baker segment.
Exactly.
I possibly am during another women's segment.
Exactly. It's definitely like the characters that these shows like basically show you how they treat them is how, like, that's what's kind of happened. So hopefully this division like can really pick up, and she is. But right out the gate, I do think we see something in the chat here who says Chris Jones is like, it was kind of heelish for her to play that video, which is something I kind of said. Like, yeah, she already felt that way, but I think the juice will definitely be when she's.
But I think that's okay, because her character is like the whole boss CEO thing. Like,
what is she?
No one likes their boss. No one like really thinks, oh, CEOs are like great people. But I think it is just showing her star power, like, effectively.
Yeah.
Like, we never saw her like promote Star Wars in WWE.
Yeah, that was crazy to me. Like, that would have made me leave too. I'm sorry. Like, bitch, I'm in Star Wars. What do you mean you're not gonna like do something about that? And they're like, nah. It's like, yeah, I'd be furious too. So I think she'll do some good, and who knows, maybe she'll be in some other movies and stuff. I do love Mercedes, but has the theme grown on you? Her song.
Yeah, I think it works. Yeah. It's good.
I don't know.
I still find it weird picking Dvorak, because just it's so associated with Gunther. But no, I think the idea of the chant and everything's good. It, you know, it's loud. She comes out, sure, they pipe it in, but also everyone's chanting it as well. Like, I think it works.
Because I swear it's her rapping.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you know, in wrestling, they're good at, like, I'm still sure it's Big Show singing his song. It's not. But
no, they always just, I always swear this one is.
That sounds like,
right. Yeah, but I swear this is her. Gotcha. But yeah.
And then we went to Eddie Kingston Okada.
Yeah.
For the Continental Championship. Young Bucks not able to go out because it's Continental Championship rules. So they're.
I like that.
Sat in Gorilla with Tony. Editing the match.
Yeah, really been enjoying this. But like the Bucks thing since doing the whole Nicholas Matthew CEO. Sorry, not CEO. The real CEO, EVP. What is she a CEO of, really? But they are the EVP.
Global Women's Wrestling.
The shirt is cool, though. I definitely, they're going to get a cease and desist from, is it Wu-Tang, I think? The shirt is cool, though. But yeah, the Bucks doing the EVP thing is honestly hilarious and amazing, because it's Okada. So you can't be like, nah, it's shit. It's like, nah, it's like one of the best wrestlers in the world being a heel with these guys.
Yeah.
And as we're going into the venue, we're passing by like the production trucks, and we see this beautiful red Ferrari, and we all stop, and I jokingly went, is this Okada's?
I wish I took a photo.
Because
I was like, oh, it's clearly someone
in the company. And it made me think like to that video a few weeks ago where he's like, oh, I'm going to get a Ferrari, right? Yeah. Ferrari. And they're like, oh, a Kia? No, a Ferrari. So here it was. And then when it showed him getting out of it, I was like, ah, of course it was him. But loving this. And I mentioned like I had a solo ticket, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to try to find you guys and see if there's like a seat near you guys so we could sit together. But like as I was about to do that, this match was kicking off. So I'm like, guys, I'm going to watch this match and then come to you. But I was sitting solo between like two guys who were friends who were just like cheering for Mercedes early on, just like wrestling fans, being super nice and chatty. And then this older man who was sitting there, who's an older Japanese man, and he was just quietly sitting there the whole time through when I got there, through Mercedes thing, for when they tell you to be loud, didn't do anything, didn't move a muscle. Then Okada comes out, And this guy just like lights up and he's by himself again. Think like not quite a senior, but an older gentleman who was just absolutely livid, like so excited to see Okada come out. And I was like, that's fucking wrestling. Like this guy just by himself got to see the Rainmaker here in Canada. And he was just like, this is great. So I was, me and this guy were definitely cheered. The two guys beside us were rooting for Eddie. And this guy just came alive. Was like, oh God. I was like, yes, let's go.
I was very much cheering for both. It depended what was going on. The Okada chants are lighter. Let's chant Okada, vice versa. But
good match.
Yeah. Watching Okada kind of wrestle TV style singles. Like it wasn't full Okada.
Yeah.
But it was still good. I thought the crowd carried this as well. The crowd was so hot. It felt, I know it's what restore the feeling and all that, but it felt like that. You know, Coca-Cola Coliseum, great venue for it. I think when they first came here, they could have done Scotia for Dynamite. I think right now with how sales are going and things, venues the size of Coca-Cola make a whole lot of sense. Like they sold a lot of tickets. TK saying it was pretty much a sellout. So you're talking just short of 7,000, I think, people there, which pretty much packs this venue. Like you could have 4,000 there and it would still look and sound great. Like I hope they try to run more venues like this because it just, the product felt so hot again.
Yeah.
Which it hasn't watching TV.
If you put 4,000 people in a 16,000-20,000 seater, like it seems smaller,
it's pathetic,
right?
So it's like in a 7,000 seater.
Yeah, it looks hot.
Looks great. And it was more than that. So, So I thought the crowd really elevated this match. Okada going on over clean, like one Rainmaker, which makes sense. Like, let's get that move over, educate people that this is a killer move. We don't need to be doing the kick out spots like right away.
Yeah.
Poor Eddie. I think this is the start of him just dropping all these titles.
The titles are all separate, right? So
they've been split now. So, yeah.
I mean, it was cool. Okada beat facing Eddie Kingston. I really loved it. And then Okada beat him clean, like you said. And now him having this title, like, there's going to be some great, great matches with Okada.
I'm not sure what I thought of Eddie's, like, Freddie Mercury flare pants.
Yeah, what was going on with those? Yeah, he was watching too many Sandman matches. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Or something.
But I think this is great. Like, the title picture looks pretty busy for the next year, I'd say.
Yeah.
You've got Swerve, who's probably going to be your next champion. You've got Ospreay, who's probably going to win it at Wembley. You've got the potential of MJF coming back as well. Like, the main title picture seems busy, and we can hold off Okada until he's ready. And I think he's someone who, as soon as he challenges for it, should win it.
Right.
Like, so, but it gives him something to... He looks good in gold. It gives him a title to defend and get these big matches and stuff. I wonder what... I assume you kind of strap up Mark Briscoe at Supercard, and I don't know if I want to see a sad, depressed Eddie storyline again, which is the easy thing to go to, especially when you've got three belts and now you got...
What's his third belt?
New Japan Strong, right? Yeah.
Throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it.
Just
stop carrying it around.
It to them.
Imagine, I mean, I don't imagine he's going through airport security with three titles, but like, imagine every day you have to stop and get them checked, and then you just look at the New Japan one, like, do I really need to bring this around?
Yeah. But like, I assume that's probably what they'll go, and then we'll have to try and start building himself up. I'd like to see them not do that. Try and think something a little bit different, because we've seen sad, depressed Eddie for years.
But it could be a nice story, like a side arc, that eventually when he does have his big come up, it's to like go for like a bigger title.
Oh yeah,
right.
So absolutely,
like that could be the route that they're thinking. But yeah, like that match, I'm trying to think what else happened after that. We had Swerve did come out. He sounded like he challenged Samoa Joe for the title, but then Takeshita comes out.
Couldn't hear a word Don Callis said.
Could not hear a word.
So much fun.
So much fun just booing the absolute shit out of Don Callis. So next week is Takeshita versus Swerve, which is absolutely crazy. We also had a match, which was Lion Hook Collide.
Yeah.
Hook versus Chris Jericho. We mentioned we recently watched the ECW Big Ass Extreme Bash 1996, which just so funny enough had Jericho versus Taz on it. And watching it, we were recording it during the day on Wednesday. If you listen to that show, you say, hey, it's 12 o'clock. We haven't watched this match yet, but like clearly they're going to try to do something from this match. And I'm pretty sure I said, yeah, I bet Jericho will do the same angle where he sells that he got dropped on his head.
Stinger, right?
And fucking 60 seconds into this match, he gets dropped on his head.
It's funny, I've listened to a couple reviews and seen the stuff on Twitter, and everyone is saying like, they've done Brock Cena SummerSlam, just yeah. dominating, the spamming of the suplexes, right, the right. dumping on his head.
Real ones, no.
And it's like I'm feeling smug, being like, no, it's the
yeah.
it's the Tazplex onto the head, and then Jericho clutching his neck like he's got a,
can you continue?
A stinger, and then yeah. just capitalizing on that. I maintain Jericho just needs to go away. I'm not interested really what his proposition
tag team, right? Is.
Like, I thought they already were. Like, maybe they're going to be one of these wild card teams in this tournament. I also can't keep track of my tag team tournaments right now.
Too many three tag team on. Tournaments.
I did get into the match. It was pretty fun seeing Hook just throwing him around. The problem is, like, Jericho has lost a lot of these matches now where it just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I think, like, you lost to... You lost to Action Andretti. You lost to Takeshita. You lost to Will. You probably lost to Sammy Guevara. I can't really remember.
I think he beat him, but
did he
yeah.
beat him and then kick him in the nuts? Right?
I forget. Yeah, or the other way around.
But yeah, there's it means less now, and this is definitely the position he was getting into in WWE, where you know he was putting over everyone, and it started to mean less and less. And I do think it would benefit Jericho. To just go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I got into this match because it was interesting, though, because it's Toronto, and everyone knows he's from Winnipeg, you idiot. But Toronto seems to be a Jericho Canada crowd, and they were booing him. So, I mean, they were really into Hook, so maybe they shouldn't do the Hook. Like, maybe the storyline is eventually if they become a tag team, they eventually can split, and Hook just destroys him and sends him packing for a while. Because, yeah, I think going away for a bit could definitely benefit him for sure. What else happened? Adam Cole cut a promo in like a video talking about Wardlow, basically like, yo, you didn't win the title and you fucked up, which this whole faction I don't really care about, to be honest.
Absolutely
so
not.
Yeah. What else was there? The promo from Ospreay, who, I mean, I don't know how to say this, but Ospreay's like the best talker in wrestling right now, which sounds crazy. I mean, okay, it's still The Rock, but Ospreay has become in the last, 5 years, give or take, one of the most exciting wrestlers to watch, like bell to bell, pound for pound, one of the best wrestlers walking this planet. That's a pretty, everyone can kind of agree with that statement, I think. But I could not tell you in those 5 years that I'd be one day thinking this guy would be one of my favorite talkers. And he has become the complete full package professional wrestler.
Yeah, he started to showcase it in the like the press conferences,
yeah.
And you know, the typical New Japan, the winner of the main event always gets on the mic and addresses the crowd. And yeah, he's been quietly been getting really good at it, and it's just such a refreshing voice to hear. It's so different from so many wrestling promos. He seems very natural, like just, you know, bouncing off the crowd, bouncing off of Tony Schiavone with him. The bringing up, oh, last time I was here,
he apologized.
I'm a naughty boy, and I'm sorry.
He apologized
to us. I've changed my ways.
If you remember correctly, he took our flag from a kid, like shoved it up his
wiped
butt.
Wiped his ass with it.
And then beat the fuck out of Kenny Omega, but then said, like, hey, I'm sorry about that, but like, hey, maple syrup's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's become so good, and like everything's hitting because his chants get over with his theme song and his entrance. He's got the bruv thing, which is completely taken. Like, if there's anything, like, British stuff that hasn't been that popular over here instantly is like, whoa, bruv, let's go. Everyone just starts saying bruv and chanting it in the halls of these venues now. It's like, the guy is set. Again, he's become a complete package of what wrestling is. And I think definitely the next few years here in AEW will have some great matches and moments, because he was making me, he was killing me laughing with the apology to Canada.
The line was great though as well with what was it? Like, essentially, like, my feet are too big for your shoes.
Yeah, you want me to walk in your shoes, but like, I don't fit. Like, yeah, I'm bigger than you, yeah. Danielson. So yeah, that match is going to be crazy.
It's going to be insane.
And then, I mean, so then they go, he goes, Shibata, you know, I see you fought him. I fought him once. I'd like to fight him again. And then everybody's just like, yes, go on. Later tonight, right? Rampage, right? Next week. Ah, oh, fuck. And then the crowd booed, classic. Okay. And he's like, kind of like, oh, maybe we should have done that.
Sorry.
But, but anyways, anyone going to Dynamite this upcoming Wednesday, you're in for a hell of a show, I'd say, because Shibata Ospreay would get me in the door, no problem.
That
would
be amazing.
On top of that, you got Takeshita Swerve, which might even be better. So I don't even, I don't know. But all I know is Ospreay has come into AEW like the guy instantly, like right away. MJF is to the wayside. He's gone right now. Kenny's gone right now. And somehow this guy is slotted in as like to be the champion and probably by the end of this year. So yeah, I love the guy's wrestling, but now I can say like he's probably one of the best promos going in wrestling. So, which again, call me crazy, but he's awesome. So that was a good promo. Sadly, we didn't get to see him wrestle, but we've seen him wrestle in Toronto,
seen him wrestle before.
Specifically in Toronto, again, yeah, a lot as well. So good stuff. We had the women's match, the tag team match, Toni Storm. I mean Mariah May taking on Deonna and Thunder Rosa.
Oh, yeah, we did have that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did have this match. Luther, in his all-white, I noted that he looked pretty good out there. I don't know how I feel about this Mariah May, Toni Storm thing. I feel like it's a bit too, like, you would have to know. And I'm not saying, like, you know, you can be following the story. But for anyone who's like, hey, what's going on with, what's this storyline? It's like, try to explain the Toni Storm, Mariah May, and now Deonna and Thunder Rosa, who are like, should be challengers. And I imagine the pay-per-view match is the triple threat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I assume so, yeah.
Which could be pretty good. But I'm not like as hot into the Toni Storm stuff maybe as I was like a little while ago.
Yeah, maybe it's run its course a little bit. Need to see a bit of evolution from the character. Maybe it's a little bit one note. I feel as well like it's similar in a way to the to what we were saying about Mercedes. I just don't think, because she's such a big character, no one else really seems on her level quite yet. And I think there are people that can match her and have really great matches with her, but it's just there's no one really in the company I can see taking the title off Toni at this point.
Neither of these two should at this point. Mm. It should be just Mercedes, I guess, if you're going forward. But or Jamie coming back. Yeah. Hopefully. I'm just really hoping she comes back. We had Swerve versus The Butcher as well, which was a quick match. And that's kind of, I think that's when Don Callis came out and got those crazy boos, which we're like, wait, what is he saying? Because I still don't know what he said. But I know that they added Takeshita and Swerve next week. So I imagine Swerve beats Takeshita and Dynasty is Joe Swerve one-on-one, right?
I assume so, yeah.
Yeah. Next week, Shibata, Will Ospreay, and the Bucks versus Private Party as well in the tournament. So maybe the Bucks go on to win the titles since they lost to Sting and Darby.
Yeah.
It's almost like a...
Yeah, I think they should... Yeah, I think it makes sense for them to have the titles for a while at this point.
And then we had our main event... The Toronto Dream Match, the biggest match in Toronto history up until this point. Edge and Christian facing off in their hometown, 40 years in the making. Adam Copeland has said that I think to the day, 40 years ago is when they met.
Yeah.
And that's why they booked this match specifically. Like,
and saying like this has been a dream
for right years.
Since then, have always wanted to have this one-on-one match in Toronto. And he, like, basically saying, yeah, don't give up on your dreams. It can take 40 years, but they happen. And what a just this crowd where this match brought in so many people, I feel, to this arena, and just were electric. The singing of Alter Bridge With the music cutting off and everyone still singing was just awesome.
It was a great moment.
Making it even better was Christian's music, like cutting it off, where I think this crowd would have just sung the whole song happily. very Greenlight-esque with no lyrics.
Yeah.
And and then some really fun spots. The hockey fight. Christian picking the Bruins, who are just like our like bogey team.
No,
just
I mean,
always seem to beat us in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. So like for any, Boston and Toronto have a iconic rivalry when it comes to hockey, and Boston always seems to get the better of Toronto. Every team gets the better of Toronto, but great moment when clearly this was planted, where Edge like sees a fan wearing it, so takes it and puts it on Christian, and then of course, oh, there's a guy just over there wearing a Leafs jersey, and then he puts it on. Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. I mean, these two are like the biggest stars to come out of Toronto when it comes to wrestling, and finally facing off each other, like it was a very special moment, and everyone was feeling very emotional for these two guys, and were there, and the second the bell rang and they just stared at each other, like the holy shit chants were so loud and very behind both these guys. And I've mentioned the last time these two faced each other in Toronto, I was in the front row, and it wasn't the best match. And I'll go back to every other time they've actually fought, something was like off and not perfect. But finally,
well, these two AEW, like the other,
yeah, the other one was good too.
Great.
Yeah, I'd say this one was better, but I'm biased because I was there in the moment, and just like, yeah, Toronto were really there for these two, and I believe Ron Hutchison was like in the front row for this as well, and like so many people were in the building. I think the guy who trained both of them well, yeah. So like, just like a lot of people that have been following these two in wrestling for this city for a very long time. He's wearing his Leafs gear as well, but. Yeah, the penalty box moment has become a Canadian heritage moment instantly. I saw it being featured on all the Sports Center things because the visual is in the box where he's hockey punching him was pretty great. The women's washroom bit, for reasons, which was hilarious, but yeah.
And then, loving the ending, just kind of taking out the whole patriarchy, having them handcuffed up, and obviously the I quit moment the with
dick shots. Spike.
Great, great fun. I thought this was an awesome Dynamite. I think this was better than the last time they were in town. I'd like to see, I still want differentiation between all these titles. So I really hope Cope continues with this Cope Open
challenge
and do just, weekly on Rampage or Dynamite, Collision or Dynamite, these open challenges. Because we've got too many men's singles titles. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's you either need to consolidate these and unify, the international with the continental or whatever.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, exactly. Or have like really clear differences between the two. Like obviously your world championship is your top title. Continental championship, all it seems to be is, okay, there's no interference, so they're pushing it as like the pure wrestling title. The TNT title should be like essentially almost weekly open challenges and a way for like Copeland to work with all this younger talent and try to give them shine. And then international championship, like what's different about that? Like really, it should be the title that you loan out and defend in indies. Like it should be defended at a random WrestleMania weekend show. Like it should be going to a Rev Pro in the UK and having it defended there, which they did. Orange Cassidy defended it in the UK. They should do more of that and do like little quick like 1 minute video packages of, oh, Roderick Strong was in Rev Pro this weekend defending the title against whoever, like Ricky Knight Jr. or whoever, I think they really need to start making these clearer, because you go as a fan, say you dragged your friend along to Dynamite this week, you'd go, oh, so Okada's the world champion now? No. Oh, so Adam Copeland's the world champion now? No. So what's the difference between these belts? There's just a lot of belts.
Yeah.
And I mean, TK has very quietly got rid of the ranking system already. like weeks in. And I think maybe a factor of that is because there are all these titles, and how do you have any sort of ranking system when you don't have weight classes and things like that. So
there's so many titles, yeah, watching these shows. And then there's Ring of Honor, and it's like, do they even have titles? And it's like, the titles are this, and that's like, I have no idea. But I thought this was a great Dynamite. One of my favorite Dynamites I've been to, for sure. And yep, like, again, we've been lucky enough and blessed to have gone to so many. But I'd say this one was better than the Toronto Dynamite when they first came. This was the second Dynamite that they've done.
Second Dynamite, we've had a Collision, we've had a Rampage
and Forbidden Door. Yeah, I mean, obviously Forbidden Door is amazing. But yeah, as for Dynamites goes, I definitely thought this was some great entertainment. And we stuck around for probably the first match of Rampage. And then we did rewatch it later that night, which was also pretty fun and pretty good. So overall,
I absolutely think that should be the move. Like, Rampage had pretty good ratings for Rampage. I feel... You know, we say Friday nights are difficult because people want to go out and enjoy their weekend. During the week, people often stay in and cook and watch TV and go to bed before midnight, that kind of thing. Yeah. So I think it makes way more sense doing Dynamite and Rampage as a 3-hour block on a Wednesday, because you'd probably finish Dynamite and be, I'll switch on Rampage. Why not? I'm not doing anything else.
So just make Dynamite 3 hours or what?
I don't know. I think then that could become a slog. But I liked what they did with the end of Copeland and Christian being the beginning of Rampage. Like, almost do it more like, you know, Raw is War in Warzone.
Right.
Like, we
sort of
switch over.
Yeah.
If they want to do 3-hour Dynamite, sure, whatever. But it's going to be way better in that block rather than on a Friday night.
They'd probably do better if they did 10 to 11 live and they just repeat it on the Friday.
Yeah.
You'd probably still get the ratings you're getting on the Friday.
Yeah. But like, you've got a wrestling audience already watching your product who will probably stick around, which they showed they did this week. I think that makes way more sense.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they did a Rampage in Toronto was one of the worst wrestling shows we had ever fucking been to. So they definitely stepped it up this time. So I had a great time at this show. And not only shout out to all the friends that we got to hang out with, but a lot of people were saying hey and calling out to us and saying hi and everything. So if you're listening, appreciate you fine people listening, because that was very nice. It's always odd when you're like, someone's coming out of a washroom and then they stare at you and they're like, Brayden? And I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. So even though there was some odd encounters, I really appreciate it. So that was fun, going to Dynamite. And then we mentioned we went to karaoke and had all that fun. Rampage, the women brought out the thumbtacks.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty wild in that street fight tonight. And then the next day, I know you had to work because you had to get Wednesday off, but I took Eric Marcotte, our friend, to Demand Lucha, which they always put on some great shows. And we saw Joey Janela versus Jack Cartwheel in the main event. Gringo and Arez are the new Los Medicos. Finally, the streak is over.
I can't believe I missed the end of the streak.
Yeah, their tag titles are no more. So that's pretty crazy.
What's next for the Medicos?
I don't know. I will say one of the guys, Arrow Boy, I believe his name was, fought Akira. And I'd say these two came out and people weren't like too familiar with them, but by the end, like, had a standing ovation. And that seems to happen at Demand Lucha a lot, where it's like two guys that might not be too familiar to some people that just like steal the show. And Eric just, maybe it was the extra strong blue white claw that he had, he just after the show went over to Arrow Boy and was like, here's $20. You're just amazing. And the guy was like, thank you. So shout out Arrow Boy. But
I mean, that is the way in Mexico.
I know. That's what we were joking. We wanted to, you know, throw the crumpled money in the ring. So we got to bring that to Demand. The problem is we don't have $1 bills in Canada. So it's a little harder. But they're always a fun time. And I will definitely be at the next one because May 23rd, Thursday, Extreme Lucha Block Party. They're bringing in Super Crazy.
Okay.
And Tommy Dreamer and some other ECW peeps. Gringo, Alex Shelley, and Lince Dorado on the show. So luchamarket.com, because we will be there, obviously. But Eric was like, wow, he's never been to an indie wrestling show ever. So he was just like blown away. And
Tim there?
Tim was not on the card, but the Stallion Kid was.
Okay.
So you know we're a big fan
of
him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So great stuff.
We're also on the road to WrestleMania. We had SmackDown take place on Friday. The face-to-face between Roman and Cody, where no bloodline involvement, no Seth or Jay or anything. That was like the plan beforehand. Man, we've been saying, you know, obviously The Rock has been killing it with these promos. And I think Cody and Seth have been pretty good at, like, holding their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been waiting for Roman to show up. I didn't think he showed up. I thought this was such a disappointing segment. And, yeah, this whole, like, this story's been going for years at this point. And Cody Roman 2, like, we were wanting it. We were expecting it when Cody lost last time, I think. Quite often rematches, it's like, oh, you're doing the match again. You certainly had that effect with Cena Rock 2. There was way less excitement for that. But I genuinely think fans wanted this match. They want to see Cody beat Roman and are pretty excited for this match. And I feel it's starting to lose steam. And maybe it's because Rock's overshadowed, but Roman just didn't have the content here for me. I really liked Cody reminding us that it was the Rhodes brothers that beat the Shield originally. I thought that was a great callback and something I completely forgot about and maybe wouldn't be referenced in a different era. I thought that was fantastic. But then Roman's content was, you're stupid. You're an idiot. Of course I bought the bloodline for me. You're stupid. I'm like, that's all you've got? That's all you got before, like, a couple of weeks away from the biggest match of the year biggest promoted match in WrestleMania for like quite a while because of how this has been built.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think it hit as much as it needed to, specifically Roman's part. Like Cody, it's fine. I maybe it's like, what else do we say for this? But I thought for sure Roman needed to like say something, especially the last time he talked, it was with The Rock on TV. So it's like, we needed a bit more. So, I mean, there's what, one more week? Two more weeks?
Yeah.
He needs to kind of rectify something or get a beating on Cody or do something to warrant, like, that doesn't involve the Rock's match.
Yeah.
I've been seeing Drew McIntyre on social media as well making fun of Seth Rollins, like, hey, you know you have a title match against me? Yeah. Like, you seem like you're a little busy helping out your friends being in the Avengers and whatever. Mm. But, like, we have a title match. And it's kind of the same thing where it's like, oh, hey, like.
But I think in a way they're doing a better build with that match because Drew's been so great.
Right.
You know, and doing the thing. It's the story of that match is Seth is too distracted and Drew's going to capitalize. Whereas, it feels like the main event of night two is Rock v. Cody at this point because that's what the build's been stronger at. I mean, I can't remember who took the pinfall in that Rhodes Shield match way back when.
Yeah.
But like,
Seth.
It was probably Seth. And if it was, that should have been the content of Roman's, like, yeah, you beat us, but you didn't pin me.
Right.
You pinned Seth. And now you're aligning with Seth. We'll beat him again. We'll pin him again. I don't know. There's more, but just, sorry, you're an idiot.
I know,
these promos have been so good. Like, this has been the best bit of main roster TV recently. Are these 20-minute
The two-on-two one was, like, my favorite promo battle in ages.
And not just with these guys, but it's been happening with, like, Sammy and Gunther. And like, there's been a lot of really strong segments building to this. And this is your main event of, like, you're billing as the they bill it as the biggest mania of all time every year. But still, like, it feels like a huge main event. And it just kind of, oh. And then you end with this weird stare down where,
I mean, the best promo on Friday night was not Cody Rhodes and not Roman Reigns. It was this redheaded woman in the front row who, for some reason, the microphone picked up her clear as day. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to just Google or Twitter search SmackDown and the girl or whatever. But it's this woman holding a drink as Roman Reigns is just staring down with Paul Heyman. And the microphone picks her up just staring at Roman here. And you can hear her say, You need a room full of strangers to acknowledge your bitch ass.
I'm trying to get... Oh, there she is.
Oh,
there,
man. She stole the show, and wow.
And you see Roman kind of...
Roman could hear it. They bleeped her. They had to edit, because I think she continues to... They eventually had to mute her.
Right.
I think she continued talking, but oh, my God. It was so funny. One of my favorite moments. Just like, I can't recall in wrestling... Because he's so close to her, because she's front row, that she's just not. It's her attitude, just like she's just standing there holding the drink, like, you little bitch ass. I was like, yo, you just cook. You did what no one else could do, and that's just completely.
It's essentially calling him a loser. Yeah, yeah. And I've always said, I think you can like come up with all these like awful words and whatever, but just being like. Sorry, you need everyone to acknowledge you? You loser. Yeah. Like, it's like way worse.
It was so funny. So, just one of my favorite things I've seen in wrestling in such a long time. Bless this girl. And someone needs to get her on. We need to get her on a show because it's just so funny. She cooked him. She just absolutely wrecked the world champion. So, I hope they bring this up because yeah. The Rock is on Raw this week. The
Rock's on Raw.
Which is different. Yeah.
And then we'll have, the go home segment. Is it next Friday? Yeah,
I guess.
I can't. Yeah, soon. But yeah, I think Roman needs to step up at this point.
Yeah.
The match is like everything's been cooking really nicely for both the tag and the singles, but just need something a little bit more from Roman. I'm sure they can do it. This week wasn't that. Whether it's the writing, his delivery, a bit of both, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, he needs to step forward a bit and come out of The Rock's shadow, I think.
Yeah.
Other stuff that happened on SmackDown. After 7 months in the company, Jade has finally signed.
Wow, 7 months.
7 months. She signed to SmackDown. I assume doing it at this point, she will have a match at Mania. Where do you see her slotting in?
I think in a tag match. Something tells me they were just not... like confident in some of her skills coming into this company, because like they acted as if she was like the biggest signing in history and then just quietly just went away, and now it shows this graphic and I was like, 7 months, holy shit, like that's been a while. Okay, so maybe like quietly, secretly she's been training and getting ready for match, some big moment, so maybe you put her in a match.
I would assume it's Bianca, Naomi, and Jade against Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota.
I think
that makes the most sense. I mean, you could have just a...
Time?
Tiffy could be it. I just don't know if that's what... On a big stage like that, whether you want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, right away. Like, Tiff's great and has killed it on better these than big Jade, stages.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's like... whether you'd want to protect in some sort of tag. They've moved away Tiffany from... She was having a little bit of a thing with Bianca, but she is definitely someone who deserves a match on there. So yeah, you could do maybe Jade, Tiffany, Stratton.
No, I'm thinking like some sort of tag as well, but you're right, like the damage control.
Like that's who Bianca and Naomi are kind of feuding with right now, is damage control. So... whether you slot Jade in there or do some sort of singles. We also had Santos Escobar taking on Rey Mysterio in a match that we thought might happen at WrestleMania. But now, you know, with LWO being knocked out of the tag team tournament and potentially...
Which one?
Well, yeah, I was going to say potentially knocked out of the NXT one as well. And we've been saying these guys deserve a spot. And then you have Dominic Mysterio showing up, helping out Santos. I could see us having a mixed 10-person tag here where you get LWO, Carlito, Rey, and Zelina against Dom, Santos, Berto, Garza, and Elektra.
So Dom is just like, I still hate you, Dad.
Yeah,
pretty much. I'm just going to... You know, I don't have anything else going on. So I guess they just kind of pivoted that into that storyline, which is like, all right, so Santos and Dom are going to align themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dom's already in the Judgment Day. He's already in a different stable. But could this be, you know, one of the first times where he could be in two stables at the same time? Because he's Dom.
Yeah.
Why not, right? I think we've talked about how, like, I'd rather see, like, all these guys get on the card, and that would be a way. Like, they have been beefing with Santos, how he has had the other LWO guys, and then they, like, he's not with them and stuff. So, like, following all of the people involved, I just think it's, like, nice that they could be actually wrestling. Obviously, they could come out and do run-ins for these guys we've been discussing. But now throwing Dom in there, I'm like, okay, I imagine it's a multi-person.
Yeah, which I'm normally, I'd take the singles over. I'm not one who really thinks everyone needs to be on the card.
Yeah.
I'm like, earn your spot, like, you know. But yeah. I think these guys have earned their spot. And I think it would be more fun having just a wild...
Yeah.
Multi-person tag.
Lucha Mask.
We've seen match. What, like, LWO and LDF are capable of. Like, Joaquin Wilde needs to do that crazy dive at a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And think, like, we've seen it, but think doing it on that stage, that's going to be gift all over the place.
Yeah.
Whether it's something he comes up with new or just that springing, flying to the outside.
It feels backwards because most of the time you're like, no, I just want to see the singles match and blah, blah, blah. But there's so many people here that I want to see them wrestle.
You can also, you'll need stuff for Backlash as well. You can always do the singles match. Then I'm leaning more to this multi-person for sure.
Okay, so yeah, Carlito, Rey, Joaquin, and Del Toro against Dom... Those two and Santos.
And Santos. And maybe the women as well, if you want to do 10 person mixed or whatever, or just have them outside doing spots as well. But yeah, I think that would be fun.
So this is just the big Latino World Order match with all
imagine you're gonna have the crazy ladder match on one night and you can have this match on another night. And I'll say, going back to last year's Mania, one of the like sleeper hits was that just random showcase
tag match,
four team tag match, which where you had like Gable doing these suplexes on Braun and I think Braun even did a dive at one point, and everyone was like, had no interest in that match going in, but that was really fun. And I think you can achieve the same kind of thing like on the early half of the show, and having Dom in there, it just raises the people's investment in it because people love to hate him.
And it's kind of easy to go back to him and Ray. It's like, whatever. Yeah. All right, just do it.
So do some fun entrances with all these guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, just it seems like they're just putting all the Latino stars in one giant match here. Where's Andrade? Let's get is he the deciding factor of this match, maybe? I mean, I at this point, I don't think he has a match on this card.
No.
So he could come out and basically pick sides.
They've been like offering him, I mean, he's on Raw, isn't he? And most of these guys, apart from Dom, are SmackDown. But they have been like inviting him into Judgment Day as well and things like that. It's been too long with this guy not having a match. You know, was his thing in AEW. He just walked around backstage doing business.
And now he's doing
business and some really nicely edited and shot vignettes. And it's been the same thing here. It's 3 months since the Rumble, and he's worked one singles match.
I don't see him having a match on this card, unless he's added to this somehow. And like, I don't know how. But
I love Andrade, but he's not Punk. He can't get away with just doing a talking segment every week and then eventually wrestling a match. Like, it's, he needs more than that. And the thing that does get him over is his fantastic wrestling.
Yeah, so even either like you have him involved in this, because I loved the stuff he did with Rey before leaving WWE. I thought like there was a perfect opportunity for... It's funny that they brought back the LWO after that, but like I thought back then, like, hey, there's some good talent and he could be like one of their big, you know, like,
and especially stars. He's got the history there with Zelina. You could have... It kind of sucks that he is drafted to
Raw.
But, you know, having a bit of a bidding war between Zelina and Elektra trying to, like, have his services and help him out, because he's not been positioned as either a babyface or a heel right yet.
Yeah.
So that's something they could potentially play with as well.
Yeah.
I think the Bayley EO build has been a little weak.
Yeah, I can't say I'm too into the build as much as maybe I thought I would, but I just know the match will be good, so I'm like, whatever.
I'm kind of getting Sasha Bianca vibes, where the build was really, really weak, and then once the match happened, you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, once the wacky waving inflatable arm filling tube man show up.
You've got to do something with Bayley. I think it would be weird for her to go back to the hugger gimmick, because, you know, she's a grown-ass woman now.
Yeah.
And, like, can't really be going around playing a child. But I think stuff like that are going to get the crowd into it, using that theme, maybe a mix of Paramore and
they
that
should,
theme.
Yeah, they should remix her old theme into Paramore.
Yeah. And, you know, EO gets over wherever she is as well. You're going to get the hey, hey, Bailey, I'm sure. Yeah. But I want something, I don't know, something's missing right now. And maybe more of these sort of sit-downs with Bailey or whatever to get across. Like, they're trying to justify her actions over the last few years, which I appreciate. Being like, yeah, I was a bit of a dick, but I was trying to get this attention and everything. And
yeah,
I really hope she has her moment, because she is the one horse woman really who hasn't really had that big WrestleMania shine.
Sure, yeah.
But the story just isn't there yet. And by the time the match happens, are the crowd going to be invested in it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I do love me some Bailey, especially back in the day. But I don't know, out of some of the others, like, if the interest level is just quite there. Same with the match level. I mean, it's EO, so I'm super excited to see EO Sky wrestle at a WrestleMania as champion. Like, that's pretty awesome. So, still, I think the match will be good, but I haven't been caring about this story as much as maybe I thought I would be. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things that happened. Oh, man. Hulk Hogan on SmackDown. Sorry. AJ Styles on SmackDown. Billy, he was huge.
He's massive. Yeah.
Superstar Billy Graham, huge. Yeah. This guy was massive. What has AJ Styles been doing?
Mm.
Holy shit, with his bandana on.
He's giant.
He's massive.
Yeah, classic home invasion angle.
Ah, I love a good... Yeah, but AJ isn't pressing charges, right?
No.
So LA Knight gets arrested, and this match has to be like some sort of like no DQ or something at this point, right?
I think it needs it.
Yeah.
Like, I like both guys, but...
It's weird.
I can't... This match has the least interest on these cards for me. And AJ in ring hasn't... Really, we mentioned the other week, hasn't really been having classics the last few years.
Yeah.
LA Knight is over. He's good, but his ring style isn't the most exciting either. So maybe this could do with having a bit of plunder involved.
I think so. Yeah.
CM Punk is going to be on Raw. What do you think his involvement in WrestleMania
the
is
Rock
going to be?
And CM Punk are going to be on Raw? Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some words for each other.
Do you see Punk being... host? Does he be, is he like going to be a ref? Is he going to be an enforcer?
I think Punk will be like a guest host of WrestleMania or commentator for a match or something. But it does look like, you know how you were at it, WrestleMania 30 started the show with the three superstars. Who was it? Like Rock, Austin, and someone? Cena?
No, Rock, Austin, Hogan.
Yeah, I imagine this WrestleMania is similar, where it starts off with like Punk, Cena, and someone else. I don't know.
Well, yeah, there have been talks of Austin, Undertaker, and Cena all being asked to do something.
Yeah.
It's the 40th anniversary. You could start with those three.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd start with Austin coming out.
Austin, Punk Cena, having a moment.
Then, yeah, you could have Punk out there as well.
And then Punk goes, I'll see you next year, buddy.
I feel if he's healthy enough for it, obviously refereeing is physical as well. But having him be the guest ref of Drew versus Seth, because he's got the beef with both guys, you could have him do the opening segment of night one with the legends. And the fact that Drew is still cutting promos on Punk, the fact Seth is still making comments about Punk, if he's physically able to, I think him being the ref of that match makes a whole lot of
sense. Can he count? I don't think he can count. Oh, it might hurt.
That's the worry, isn't it?
It might hurt him. His
just stand
brittle
one,
bones.
Two.
Yeah, I don't want to see him on night two. I'd like to see him being in one of those segments or anything, just being involved, cool. But after that, watch the show, buddy. You're hurt. Sit on the bench.
Mm. You're not benching CM.
No. At WrestleMania. I'm saying he's opening the show, WrestleMania, with a segment. That's what I'm saying. But after that, like, I don't care to see him after the fact. Like, he's already had that big moment, right?
I think they'll have him on both shows.
Like, you think he'll be a ref?
Or enforcer or something. I think he'll have involvement.
What's he going to enforce?
I think he'll have involvement in that match. You're not, like, think, in the previous two night things, they've had Undertaker come out both nights. They've had Triple H come out both nights. They've had Austin, like, come out both nights. In in the one in Dallas.
I don't see
you having CM Punk just show up at the beginning of a show and disappear it. And like,
I think he'll
him have a presence throughout both nights.
I mean, it sounds like they'll announce something on Raw that he's like the host, and I imagine it's an Austin Punk segment that we eventually get.
Cool.
On one of these shows, but
which just seems so unpunk, doesn't it? The host of WrestleMania.
This whole run is that. He fucking came back. Yeah. So unpunk, but what else is going on?
I'm trying to think. Slammy Awards are happening at WrestleMania the World. WrestleMania World. The Access, whatever it is, they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
They're doing a bunch of panels and things at this thing, which I like. I imagine going to be on Peacock and the network.
Right, right.
But you've got, Female Superstar of the Year, Male Superstar of the Year, Best Entrance, Return of the Year, Faction of the Year, Rivalry of the Year, NXT Superstar of the Year, Match of the Year, Oh My God Moment, Social Star, Breakout Superstar. So they'll be doing that at the World, which I might go and check out if I can get cheap entry for it.
It's probably
pretty interesting.
It's probably cheap to like walk through it.
$30, I think.
Yeah, to like go through it and everything, pretty cool and stuff. But there's a lot of stuff going on. Mm. But this does sound pretty cool. But it does just sound like they changed the name of Access to this, right? So
yeah. Cool. I think that's it for WWE.
Yeah, I mean, there's you mentioned that tag team ladder match as well. So the Creeds and DIY had an awesome match on Raw as well. That was pretty good.
That was great.
And they're added to WrestleMania, which is also pretty cool. Gargano and Ciampa on a WrestleMania, pretty cool. Don't think they're winning that match, though, but I'm sure they'll have some cool spots in the ladder
match. I think you're having two winners in that match.
Yeah, true.
So potential.
Yeah. And then the Uso stuff as well, actually.
Yes.
Kind of bringing some heat to that thing, because that was kind of cold and Jimmy's just been a dick. Sorry, Jimmy's the one who's...
Jimmy's
the asshole in this story. And, I mean, I'll just... Broken record is they're gonna have a great match.
This will probably be a no DQ or something as well, I imagine.
And then they'll shake hands after and their dad will come out and they'll all celebrate.
Maybe.
And then maybe one of them turns in later in the night because there's the bloodline.
Yeah.
Rikishi comes out and you think it's all happy and they do the dance, but secretly Rikishi's like, all right, now we're all joining the bloodline again. And then Jay's like, yeah, all right. And then we get some sort of swerve with him, I assume, because as much as I like this Cody in the Avengers, it's funny because it's like, and we're here to beat up the bloodline. But in like comic books, it's like, wait, you're actually on that team, though. We know it. Even though you left that team, like, you should be back on that team to fight these guys. So.
Yeah.
But I thought was it Jimmy, again, which one was cutting the promo about kind of bringing the reasons why. And they may have altered the history of what was actually going on with the terrible main event last year and everything.
Yeah.
But either way, I was like, all right, you need to happen the match. And it's funny because WrestleMania 10 was Bret and Owen. And then 15 years later at 25 was Hardy versus Hardy. And then now 15 years more later, it's this. So it's like a weird 15 years. They let the brothers fight.
Right.
In a weird, strange way. So I think that's pretty cool.
There have been excerpts coming out from Ronda Rousey's book. Where she's kind of going scorched earth on WWE. I'm loving it. It's great to hear people and like big stars not afraid to actually speak their mind. And I think Ronda is in a unique position where she came into WWE already made. Unlike a lot of these people who obviously have kind of conflicting opinions because they wouldn't be where they are today if it wasn't for Vince McMahon and kind of this father figure. Whereas Ronda was already a star and came in and, being very negative towards Vince, John Laurinaitis, Bruce Pritchard, saying she has no intention of ever going back there. And I think you look back and like her first run and her second run was so different. You watch the first run and she seems motivated and happy to be there and actually putting on some pretty good matches for someone who hadn't done it long at all. And then you go to the second run and the smile's not on the face. She just doesn't seem to want to be there, seems to hate it.
Yeah.
And this kind of sort of makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. Okay, so Ronda Rousey, sometimes not everyone's favorite person, but she clearly had some things she wanted to get off her chest from this time in WWE. And again, like some of these things that have come out is more so to Laurinaitis, Vince, and co. So like, I'm glad that she's shitting on these things, especially Vince. There's a few things I've read coming out from this where she references Vince and Saudi Arabia and all that stuff. And there was other stuff involving Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Where they all were like supporting their friend because someone said
Bruce
something.
Bruce Pritchard said that no one wants to work with her. And then all the women were like, no,
we didn't.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, and so that's kind of fucked up.
And then Aaliyah just quietly being removed and basically being a message sent out to everyone being like, you're exposable, disposable,
right?
Like fall in line, essentially.
Right. Yeah. So it just seems like she's had like, it sucks because she's out here being like, WWE sucks and they were awful to me and all this stuff. But that was like before. So like now a lot has changed. So like you can imagine someone like a Becky who's like, yo, like screw you. Like you're saying all this stuff about WWE. But what Ronda is saying is like some things that were bad about Vince. So it's like I kind of like.
What, has Becky come out?
No. But like I could imagine like with all the.
I don't see people going against.
I'm just like, I'm thinking of some of the stuff where she's like not talking about Vince and not talking about these other people, where it's just like as a whole, like this place is a joke and all this stuff. I hope it doesn't come across that way because I hope.
I've not seen it as that way at the moment. I think
the other stuff is like, yeah, good for her for saying this stuff.
I think as long as a Bruce Pritchard's there, she's not going to have any interest in going back.
Yeah.
Maybe down the line if things really change. But
I don't think so.
I don't see it. And I also think this kind of makes the ROH thing make sense because I think she does love wrestling but just didn't love WWE. And maybe her thing is, maybe if she never wrestles again, well, I got to finish like wrestling with my friend on my terms just in a random ROH show. And now
some indie show she did. Yeah.
She worked with Marina. And
I know Shane is doing Bloodsport against Masha, but like maybe Ronda shows up there. I don't know. You know? So yeah, it kind of made me respect her a little bit for saying those things. She didn't need to say those things. And she clearly it irked her enough to be like, yo, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
So actually respect.
Yeah,
for sure. So again, I know a lot of people are like, oh, that Ronda, because I could not care about Ronda Rousey. That SummerSlam match with Shayna, she mentions this too, is like, whoa, it was supposed to be some like UFC fight match. And then they just made it a match and that match sucked. So yeah, good for her.
Yep. Some stuff coming out about Jack Perry this week. It was reported that he'd, after All In, sent multiple apologies to Tony Khan and Tony Khan respond and blah, blah, blah. And then Alvarez saying that basically Perry's put out a statement saying that's not true. And he didn't apologize and didn't hear from Tony Khan for 2 months. And eventually lawyers got involved. They had a meeting before, was it Full Gear, in person with talks of bringing him back. And then Punk shows up at, I think they were going to bring him back at World's End. And then Punk shows up at Survivor Series. And then that got nixed. And then Rocky Romero helped arrange his current thing in New Japan. Stuff like the ripping up the contract and the scapegoat thing hadn't been cleared with AEW. It's kind of stuff he's doing himself. So we were thinking that maybe he's going to be brought into the Elite to be like the Hangman, like replace Hangman
Page. Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't look like that's the case
right now.
But yeah, seems like there's still maybe bad feelings towards Jack Perry from AEW.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I feel like that could be also just what he wants us to think, what they want, kind of for the angle of what he's going for is kind of fits that thing where I don't see, like, Tony Khan actually being upset at this guy for certain things. At least, I don't know. So a lot of the things with these messages coming out, especially if it's Meltzer related lately, making me feel a little not so iffy. I wait till other people report things. Cause I don't know if you saw on Friday some story coming out about The Rock and his foul language. And The Rock took to Twitter to be like, that story is complete horse shit.
Yeah.
So Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, they haven't had a good record recently. I know I saw Sean Rassap tweet out that he's, like, looking into the Jack Perry stuff and wants to clarify some things.
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to sour on Jack Perry very quickly, and that was before the whole punk thing.
Yeah.
Someone who was, I thought, a real, like, fan favorite in AEW for a while. And then I think around the time of the Four Pillars stuff, where I think he got quite exposed on mic,
yeah,
people just seem to, like, turn on this guy. And
well, the punk stuff came out. Remember, like, there was something else that led
that
up.
That was
to,
after yeah, the Pillars.
It
thing
led
as
up
well.
To it, yeah.
And then you had All In. If this is true, I feel bad for Jack Perry, because I'm sorry, punk weekly on TV was throwing shots at people, like the like peg warmer thing for Hangman Page, the counterfeit Bucks, things like that. He was doing it all the time. The Bucks, like, as soon as they came back from suspension, them and Kenny were doing, you know, moves in that match.
Yeah,
and at first we're like, ah, it's leading somewhere. It wasn't. Yeah. That was just them being like, fuck you, punk, and we're making fun of it. To the victory laps around the ring, it kind of, he does, I know the name is Scapegoat, but you do get that feeling, it's like the curtain call where, oh, well, we can't punish Nash and Hall because they're gone. We can't punish Sean because
he's our guy.
He's the champ. Sorry, Hunter, like,
yeah,
the blame lands on you here. So basically what I'm saying is Jack Perry's going to run AEW in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel a bit bad for him. And I know there are punk fans out there who are like, fuck Jack Perry and all that. But it's, no, sorry. Like, punk did way more on screen than real glass Crimea River.
Yeah, again, we'll never, the story goes is that they, you know, they got in this tussle and things, and maybe one day Who Kid will remember more of what he saw. Yeah. I'm not sure, but just, it's weird that everybody seemed to, like, dogpile on him, and it's easy to be like, well, this guy ain't shit in the world of wrestling. CM Punk's, like, fucking God in the world of wrestling, and then this is, like, this guy. So you kind of feel for him. I was a fan of him before. I still am a fan of him. I'm not necessarily rushing to watch him in New Japan, but I'm happy that at least he's, like, featured on TV and stuff. But going forward, like, an easy thing to be would to, like, have him be like, yeah, I was the guy who got rid of him and I am in the Elite and stuff, but I don't know if that's a good idea or if it's a bad idea. I don't know.
Apparently he asked for his release as well, which was denied. I mean,
because then Triple H will give him a call and be like, yo, I got a great idea, because that's the problem where you go back to it, whereas, like, you thought they'll just fucking sort it out like grown-ass men and lock themselves in a room and be like, hey, you want to make millions of dollars? That didn't happen. Was it the Elite's fault? Maybe that's they didn't want to work with this guy when you should have, because fuck, who knows where we'd be right now if they didn't, they did do that. So it
I
is
mean,
a big,
if a WWE were to have interest in him, I trust them a bit more to be like, hey, we know there's shit between you two, this ain't happening.
Yeah,
I trust it more there. And I mean, if I had it my way, I just put him in NXT and call him Lexus King and get rid of that other fucker and just give him that gimmick. Have Lexus King who can wrestle, because I think Jack Perry could do that. You know, famous dad, he's dead.
Yeah.
And you're a bit of a shit.
Do you just call him, what was it, Dylan?
No, I want him to be Lexus King. I want him to go to his barber, do the beard. He's been growing the beard out. It can have the fade and everything.
No, I want him to show up on WWE TV alongside Punk.
Sure. Yeah.
He aligns himself with Punk.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like, there was clearly, like, something that happened. But I don't think it's right that people are just, like, instantly like, yeah, fuck this guy. What's he ever done? It's like, yeah, he's pretty true. What has he done in considering in other people in wrestling? But he was pretty good, and he still is pretty good. So I'm wondering if it's not the end of his story of in wrestling, because maybe he could be a fun heel to join the Elite and Okada, right? Right? Like,
yeah.
People say he's the scapegoat, and he's going along with it. So we'll see. But as far as, like, some of the stuff coming out with Meltzer, and, you know, guys telling him stories, and then things are coming out that don't seem to be true, and this and that. And I don't know if he's just getting worked a lot more lately or believes things. I mean, he watched The Rock and Triple H from 10 years ago and thought it was for this year. So I don't know. And Shibata's brain is somewhere on a table somewhere, too.
Yeah. Motor City Machine Guns seem to be leaving TNA. I think I'm trying to get the
hourglass emoji. Is that
April 1st? I think their thing comes up.
Oh,
If
WrestleMania was in Detroit, they'd be in that ladder.
Well,
match.
I'm eyeing up. I don't know quite the dates, but I'm eyeing up these wildcard slots in the AEW tag tournament. And
oh, okay.
You know, potentially FTR Machine Guns.
Oh, fuck in a match. We didn't get that.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the bracket. I can't remember what matches we've had so far, but yeah, like that could be something they slot in, and you could do Dynasty Bucks versus Machine Guns.
I would love that.
Or you have, you know, maybe Bucks FTR as the final, and then the winners of that, like the next after Dynasty. But it could work if their contracts are coming up 1st of April. Dynasty's 21st of April. I think the tag team division in AEW used to be a bit of a calling card of it, like when it started, but it's really fallen down. Like, I'm looking at the brackets and, like, sorry, Private Party, Undisputed Kingdom, Best Friends, Infantry, Top Flight, they all feel a level below, and you don't have Lucha Brothers right now.
Yeah,
Proud and Powerful are gone. And I think Machine Guns would definitely be a way of freshening up the tag division.
I'd love it.
Putting some focus on it. You've already got the history there with the Bucks.
There's so much history you can do with, like, when the Bucks were up and coming. It was the Guns that they were emulating, right? And now you have them. We've seen them briefly in AEW with some things. I know they did that, like, one match where they randomly added everybody on the other side.
Was it like an 8-man or a 6-man or something like that?
And I'm screaming at the TV, like, when can we just get
this proper
match? So if that's the case, like, yeah, I'm joking about them being in WWE, which I don't see happening. And I would love to see Shelley and Sabin in AEW as the Guns. Fuck it. When's Kushida's contract up? Get the hell out of there too. And come on in over to AEW. I don't know.
Kushida's past it for me.
Like, I think the Guns coming into AEW for, like, the next year, there's so many, like, fresh-up matches, and I'd keep the Bucks match for a pay-per-view. I'd keep the FTR match for a pay-per-view.
But also, I wouldn't blame them if they, you know, finally get that paycheck in WWE as well. Like,
I don't see it happening, but
I see AEW being way more likely, especially, I think, schedule-wise. Does Alex Shelley still work the...
It's like a paramedic or
the
something?
The other job? Yeah, like, it's... It would probably suit them better, and the fans would take
more. We would, as fans, be just introduced to some great tag team matches and stuff, because they still got it. And I grew up watching these two for a long, long, long time. And honestly, I've been pretty bummed at how Alex Shelley has been, like, this heel character and Impact, finally getting the title, and I don't like it at all. And we've been going to indie shows, and he's been doing the same character. And I'm like, dude, you should just be the guy who does the awesome matches. And instead he's been like this weird character. And I'm like, I'd rather just see the Guns together. And now with them both being done with Impact or TNA or whatever, like, yeah, that's a blow for them, but good for us fans. Cause no matter where they end up, which should be AEW, they'll put on some really entertaining matches. And I think that'd be great. And working with the younger teams to help them get over and establish as well. But yeah, I feel like there'll be more releases for TNA coming soon. Stuff with Killer Kelly. I don't know if she's still under contract.
Yeah, but that kind of got shot down, I think. So
I would like to see her leave Impact, and I'm sure a few other people want to leave Impact at this point, TNA, but maybe they're just not allowed to with contracts and everything. But, like, what are they doing? TNA. Like, looking at ahead for some of the stuff they have planned in the next few weeks, people are just, like, the biggest eye rolls, because it's like, main eventing with Moose and Trent Seven is like, sorry, not going to work for me, brother.
I feel at this point, I can't remember who I saw tweet this, but I completely agree. Just merge TNA, NWA, MLW together, and they might have a fighting shot of not being the number one or the number two, but actually it seems so diluted across all three of those companies that let's just come together, be the TNWALW, you know, like whatever it is, like,
right.
And maybe it'll, like, improve a bit, but yeah, TNA is at beginning of the year had such, like, good momentum, I thought. And I think they fumbled it pretty quickly.
Oh boy, did they ever.
What's going on with Alex Coughlin as well?
Yeah, in New Japan, I saw him put out a tweet saying that he might have to retire due to some injury.
He says, yeah, I'm retired and it sucks. Now leave me the fuck alone. Actually, I have some merch and gear to sell still, so don't fuck off just yet.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of it as of right now, but that sucks. He's in New Japan. He's the one with the mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went
through the table.
Yeah, he's got a great moment. He was very memed, which is, you know, gets you even more famous and recognized, which it must suck for him right now.
Yeah, that's like New Japan's definitely the least interest I've had in it for a long time.
Years.
It's not cooking for me at all, but you know, this the Wolf Dogs, what are they called?
War Dogs.
War Dogs. They've been something that seems to be brewing up quite nicely with him and Gabe Kidd, etc. Like, that sucks. Don't really know much details of it, but obviously wish him the best.
Yeah. Some other things I saw. You pointed out to me the other day on the AEW roster site that they still had Brody Lee up there, and his record was really bad for
the
rankings.
Yeah, his 2024 record sucks.
Yeah, but some people noticed that they also took down MJF off their website and merch and everything. So I think that's just a power move to get people thinking.
I see him showing up at Dynasty.
Yeah.
Dynasty is kind of his thing,
right?
That was his faction with Richard Holiday, Alex Hammerstone, all that pre-AEW. I think the name is a nod towards MJF. But where would you... I mean, he's got to come back for the Adam Cole feud, but Cole's not
back.
Healthy.
Cole's not even back.
So I assume you're going to MJF. Wardlow is where you'd slot him in to start with.
Oh, right.
I'd imagine. Like,
yeah.
I can't see him going towards anything else, right? Away,
yeah,
but yeah, MJF Wardlow doesn't particularly.
So what would he just show up? Because it's not like Wardlow's gonna have a match. He's not even big enough to probably be on this pay per view.
I mean, you know, like we'll have like
Roddy.
We'll have six matches added at
you
the
could
end
have,
of the
yeah,
show.
Like you could have them being out there for Roddy, and that's how there's a reason for him to come out. It's with,
I assume, Roddy Kyle. Are we thinking?
Oh, I mean, he could beat Roddy for that title.
Yeah,
the demotion.
Throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he shows up, but I don't think I think this is all just a power move to try to get people like, oh, look.
Yeah, where to get some buzz.
Yeah, exactly.
Classic Max.
Yeah, yeah. Some buzz I saw online too, just going through some other little things here. The Soft Ground Wrestling Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
These guys.
Big fan.
Yeah, if you've been seeing them on social media, these guys in Uganda who just... Guys and gals who are wrestling pretty much in the mud on the soft ground, as they call it, which started going a little viral. And Will Ospreay has been a big fan and supporter of these guys and has kind of donated some money towards them. And then just recently donated some more. And Ospreay has put out some tweets being like, hey, I hope you can like get this ring. And hopefully one day I'll make my way down there and we'll have a match.
Nice.
So this has just been a real feel good, like, thing here is you got to check out Ospreay's tweets to them and their reply thus far, but it's just been pretty cool. I've watched some of these clips. They're killing each other.
Yeah,
yeah, they're really good actually. So it's been pretty great. And then a more depressing note: the Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah,
just watched it before recording here because I was like, I have time, I can watch it, and I was waiting for this episode. And just like most episodes, I'm pretty like sad after watching it and realizing what these people go through to give us entertainment. But The Last Flight of Terry Gordy is this week's episode, and it was pretty good. Again, very, very sad, but learned a lot. Like, I was today years old when I learned that Jesse from Jesse and Festus, Slam Master Jay, is his kid.
Yeah,
I was like, what? How did I not know that? Which he was great on it, talking about his dad and everything there. What did you think of this episode?
Yeah, I thought it was done really well. Terry Gordy is someone who, one of our, was it the Bruiser Brody episode of Best Match Ever, where we kind of saw a bit of Terry Gordy as well?
Stan Hansen, possibly.
Stan Hansen, and I was like, yeah, captivated by this guy. I thought he was awesome. And just a sad story, seeing the interviews after his like near-death experience on the flight where they revived him but clearly had brain damage. It kind of reminded me of the is it Chris or Mike Von Erich?
Yeah.
Like, when they come out of hospital and just seem
different,
slow and different. And couldn't, in that interview, he's being asked about, you know, just to tell road stories or what was it like wrestling in Japan? And he just needs prompting yeah. for everything. Just can't think. Something I did find interesting was when they, because I think a lot of fans were like, why the fuck is Terry Gordy wearing a mask in WWF as this executioner gimmick? And in these interviews, it wasn't portrayed like that. It was WWE kind of throwing him a bone and being, out of respect, we don't want to present this just watered down
Terry Gordy.
So let's give you a paycheck. Let's put you in a mask where you don't really need to be the Gordy we all knew and loved back in the day. So, but yeah, very sad. Dead at 40. I mean, you're seeing interviews with Steve Williams as well, who was also dead very young.
Yeah. The Violence Crew, what were they called? The Violence, Miracle Violence Connection.
Yeah.
Didn't know that that was their name, but I loved some of the stuff we've watched of Terry Gordy. I got to shout out the, what is it, the World Tag League from 1988, Stan Hansen and Terry Gordy versus Tenryu and Kawada, man. Like, that match is fucking incredible. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely do. And some of the matches they talk about in this Dark Side as well, but just a sad story. The daughter talking about Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons helping Terry Gordy lose some weight. That's pretty good. But Mick Foley had me dying laughing when he goes, look, he wasn't all there afterwards, but we had some great death matches, and it made one of the best post-match interviews of all time. And as soon as it cut to this video, I've seen it before, and I just howling laughing because I've always watched it where he's coming, but Foley kind of describing it where he's just like, fuck, fuck, he beat me. Fuck. It's just so funny. So, it makes me, every time I watch these episodes of Dark Side, it makes me want to go back and watch, like, you know, clips of these wrestlers and promos or matches and stuff. So, this one was pretty good, and I feel for the family, but it does feel like they're happy that this guy had this career, and they seem happy that someone, you know, documented it here.
And next week's Beefcake?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, what's just going to be an hour of how he had to hold Hulk Hogan's bag and bags.
Yeah. I don't know. But I always enjoy these.
They're fucking great, man. I really love this show, and it's crazy that it's been going on for all these seasons. And I always love talking to, like, non-fans or half-wrestling fans who, like, seem to really be into these shows, because all these stories, you know, are so interesting in this world of, like, entertainers. You always think of rock stars and actors, but, like, wrestlers have had some crazy shit going on, and we got Beefcake coming up, which is maybe not as exciting as some of the others, but probably will have some laughs. And I know Cornette isn't always everyone's cup of tea, and I do not listen to Cornette now, and I cannot care about anything he has to say about wrestling in the modern world. But when it comes to Cornette talking about stuff that happened in the past, whether it was the 70s and 80s, like, he was there, he was big part of it, he's got a lot of knowledge and interesting things to say. So I do like when he's on these episodes, but couldn't care about him talking about wrestling today. But I think that's it, other than this video of Rhea Ripley giving Nia Jax a stink face, which seems to be all over my social media feed today.
Of course it is.
Just wrestling.
All right,
that's it, everyone. That's all we have to talk about some wrestling here today, but we will be back on Tuesday night right after NXT on the Post Wrestling feed. We go live 10:15 p.m. every Tuesday night, and we'll chat about some NXT. Trick Williams got beat up last week. What's going to happen with him and Carmelo Hayes, plus the tag tournament and everything going on in the world of NXT leading up to Stand and Deliver. And then next week, we're going to Collision on Saturday night in the real London, Ontario. And we're going to chat about everything that happens there. But it's Easter on the Sunday. So I don't know. I might have, like, a family Easter thing. So I don't know if we'll be here on Sunday. I'm not quite sure. But either way, at Poison Rana Pod on all the socials to see and follow. But I'm sure we'll do some road diaries from London as well. So poisonrana.ca for everything else that we do. I myself, Braden Harrington, Twitter, Instagram, at TheBrayD.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. I love ya.
Ahoy!